Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Second hour of the show. Our thanks to Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia, who joined us in the previous half hour to talk about the Eagles situation, a little bit on Villanova as well. You can check it out in the Steve Jones Show podcast. This half hour, Nikki Javala from the Denver Post talking about Peyton Manning and what's next for the Denver Broncos. She was at the press conference in Denver on Monday. And then the final half hour, Steve Blass from Bradenton, Florida, to get you up to date on what's happening down at spring training. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Wisconsin Green Bay goes out last night. They win the horizon, courtesy of a play like this.
Charles Cooper on the take, throws it down.
Mike Tirico with the call last night on ESPN. Mike will be doing the Penn State game tomorrow night with Dan Dockage and Quentin Kesnick on ESPN2 tomorrow evening. So I'll get a chance to see Mike. And by the way, if you've ever had a chance to meet him, Mike is one of the really great guys out there. Really is. Great personality and is an outstanding play-by-play guy. So Mike Tirico with our play-by-play call today on the Cooper slam dunk as the Phoenix of Wisconsin Green Bay win their way to the NCAA tournament in Detroit last night. All right, let's get to Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. It's been another great time in Denver. They've won the Super Bowl. They've re-signed Von Miller, and Peyton Manning has retired. And now we have to find out what they're going to do at quarterback because they don't have Brock Osweiler under contract just yet. So let's bring in Nikki Javala, the Denver Post. And, Nikki, let's get to it. I mean, you were there. I mean, what were your thoughts as all of this played out?
It's been kind of slow these days.
Let's talk. The Peyton Manning thing was obviously not unexpected. So, what was it like to be in the room and experience the emotion of from his part as to what happened?
It was pretty moving, to be honest. He had his whole family there, minus Eli. Eli was sick, so he couldn't come. But the whole family was there. Bill Pullian was there. Jeff Saturday was there. A lot of his current Bronco teammates were there. It was a packed house, and to see Peyton Manning, who's usually pretty stoic on the field, you know, we know about his sense of humor and, you know, his rapport with players, but to see him get choked up like that, it was something. I mean, everybody in the room felt it. This guy really loves football, but it was nice to see him go out the way he did. It was expected, but I thought the ceremony, the announcement was really well done, honestly.
One thing that people don't realize is that even though we're around sports a lot, you don't really get a chance to know these guys that well. But
right.
What was it like, though, to cover him for 4 years?
I was only on the beat for this year.
Okay.
But it is very different. I mean, when you have Peyton Manning on the team, it's basically like covering two teams. You know, you got the Broncos, and then you got Peyton Manning, who is a daily source of news. And he's very hard to get to. His time with the media is very regimented. So it's very different. It's going to be interesting to go back to covering just one team. it's a lot different than other teams where, you know, you kind of have all your guys together. He's a future Hall of Famer, so it's obviously going to be different. It helps us with headlines, but it does make things a little more complicated.
How I was only around him one time at a press conference, and that was the Super Bowl 48 media day, and he just always seemed to be when I was there watching him, just in complete control of his surroundings, complete control of what's going on around him, knew exactly how he wanted to answer things. Is that how he is right. on a week in and week out basis?
Yes, I mean, everything is very calculated. He's in complete control. He's tight-lipped when he wants to be. He'll you know, he'll use jokes when he doesn't want to answer a question. But you could see a change in him this season. He let his guard down a bit. You could see that at the Super Bowl weeks when he went into all his injury stuff, which he never likes to talk about. When he mentioned he was told by a doctor that he would need to have a hip replaced, that's not something he would have ever discussed, let alone, you know, the numbness in his fingertips. So you could see a change. You could see him slowly accepting the fact that this could be it. I'm not sure when exactly he decided that this indeed would be the last rodeo. I think, as anything with him, it takes a lot of evaluation, a lot of phone calls, a lot of reassurance. But there was a change in him. You know, throughout his career, he's always been that calculated guy with everything.
I was in Indianapolis for the Big Ten tournament the day he was released by Indianapolis. And so I remember that vividly. I also remember the fact that there were probably eight teams that were directly interested in him right away, despite the neck surgeries, with obviously Denver being one. I think Arizona and Miami were two other prominent ones that were involved trying to get him. It's my understanding this time nobody was actually interested.
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly true, but you could definitely see how he kind of put out feelers. You know, Tom Condon coming on the radio, making the media rounds. I think that was also very calculated to kind of see what kind of interest he could draw. But, you know, I think he's also very aware of himself. And I think this year, more than ever, after going through that foot injury, it kind of forced him to accept where he was at physically. So, yeah, I don't doubt that he still wanted to play at all. I'm not sure he'll ever lose that. But, yeah, it's definitely different when you're – you know, closing in on 40, you know.
Right. The incident at Tennessee, which took place 20 years ago, is only mentioned in a suit against Tennessee. It is not the focal point of the suit. It is an example, I have that correct. It's been made out to be like he's being sued. He's not. It's just pointed out. That was one of those moments he handled with that humor you talked about, like items that he doesn't want to talk about, he'll use humor, right?
Right.
And he did that yesterday.
Right. You know, I thought he handled that really well. It was a very fair question. I know Lindsay has received a lot of backlash for that, but it was a very fair question. And this was the first and last time he could provide a response to all that. But like, as you said, yes, he's not being sued. You know, all the lawsuits had been settled. So for this to resurface, you know, it definitely added to an already interesting season for him. But, you know, I thought he handled it well. I also don't think he can go into too much detail just because of the terms of that settlement. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, I know Jason disagrees with me, but I thought that was, hey, look, this is the first time he's been out there, so I thought it was fair to ask a question about it. So.
Well, it's the only avenue you have. That's kind of the way I look at it. I think you have to ask it in that circumstance because is it ideal to ask it there at a retirement ceremony? No, but when's he going to talk again?
All right, so tell Lindsay I completely understand why.
So I agree
I sat
as well.
There and went, you know what?
I mean, he hasn't spoken publicly on the subject since because it resurfaced right after the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he's not going to be in front of us ever again with retirement. So
exactly.
It's totally fair. The timing, not ideal, but that's her job.
Yeah,
so.
That's her job. Exactly right. It's okay to ask a question. Because it opens the door for him to give an answer. And then after that, asked and answered, and you move on.
Exactly.
Brock Osweiler. I know Bill O'Brien has some interest in him down in Houston. What about Brock Osweiler with Denver?
Well, they're still in talks. They have a offer on the table. It's the same offer they presented to him before the combine. But they still have ground to cover. I think Malik Jackson's impending departure kind of clears the way for them to finally get something done. I think if Brock had held his number, they would have maybe tried to lock up Malik and let Brock go. But I think the latest developments today really changed things. And I'm more optimistic that Brock will get something done in Denver, but at this point, nothing would surprise me.
Right, sure. Malik Jackson, by the way, signing, I think, an offer sheet with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right. And then the Broncos released Louis Vasquez, Owen Daniels, and Aaron Brewer.
Correct.
So they've made a lot of movement in a short period of time.
Right, right. They have a long list of items to check off, but they did clear more cap space and, you know, the reshaping of the rosters
now
coming into view.
Right, and they franchised Von Miller already.
Right.
And he says he wants to stay forever, but, you know, he can say that, but they have to come up with the money.
Yeah, Von's a loyal guy. He wants to stay. He loves his family, loves his team, loves his friends. It's kind of who he is. That's what makes him great. That's what makes him kind of a ringleader in that locker room. But we all know money talks. So,
well, there'll be certain guys that won't be there. Manning, Jackson, and we just went through the other guys who won't be there, including a guy like Owen Daniels, who spent his entire career, I think, with Gary Kubiak. I mean, that his entire career was, including even in Baltimore. What do you see for the next year for the Broncos? Do they have the, first of all, do they have the personality based on being around them for a year where winning once is great, we're all fat and happy, and we're all going to be happy on the farm, or is there still enough drive and motivation there based on the guys you're around?
I think there's plenty of drive. I think 2 years ago, maybe I would have questioned it, and they themselves even questioned it. I don't know if you're around them much during Super Bowl week, but they often spoke of that 2014 Super Bowl when they, you know, were kind of looking past teams, or actually it was last year, they were kind of looking past the Colts and not really focusing on, you know, what they needed to get done then. So I think they learned from it. I think they're still pretty driven. It's going to be interesting, though, because they are losing some key pieces. You know, Danny Trevathan could probably end up with the Bears. C.J. Anderson's another one because they put a low tender on him, and he could draw interest from a number of teams. So there could be a number of starters gone and new ones in. So, you know, the makeup of that team starts with a defense still, but we'll see how it is next season.
Are you amazed how the NFL can eat up every news cycle, even when they're not playing?
I'm no longer amazed. No, nothing surprises me ever anymore. But yeah, the so-called off season, can we just get rid of that label right now? It doesn't exist. There's no such thing.
No, there isn't. There is not. That's one thing we talk here all the time. When we sit down to talk about, well, what are we going to talk about today? We can talk Penn State football any day, anytime. People go, oh, they're going to talk Penn State football. Great. So, by the way, tell us a little bit about Jordan Norwood, speaking of Penn State.
Jordan Norwood, free agent.
Yeah.
he's another big question mark. You know, they have a deep receiving core. And with Demaryius locked on that long-term deal, you got Manuel coming back. They're going to want Benny Fowler to come back, I would think. I believe he's an exclusive rights free agent, so he'll be back. Cody will be back. So he'll be interesting. They have a deep group, but Jordan Norwood turned into a pretty impressive special teams player. So that may, you know, give him pause if – you know, instead of letting him walk.
When he went to, of course, Brian Norwood, his father, came here to coach. And his brother Gabe played for George Mason, the one that went to the Final Four. And so they both played at State College Area High School. Well, it came time to recruit him. And, of course, Brian's on the staff. And the staff here didn't really want to recruit Jordan Norwood. And Joe Paterno insisted they recruit him. He said, look, he said, I've not only seen him, he said, obviously tape him playing football, but I've seen him play basketball. He was the point guard in the state basketball championship team. He says, you will recruit him. So, well, when the boss says you will recruit him, you do. And he overcomes the odds every single time. It's been, I mean, to see him take that punt back, none of us were surprised here because guess what? There's something about him in moments where he makes plays.
Yeah. And he's a very smart player, too. I think that's what impresses. You know, plays where guys wouldn't, you know, recognize what's at stake. He's very smart out there. And, yeah, I agree with you. For his size, I'm especially amazed at some of the catches he makes, some of the hits he takes. So, yeah, I would love to see him back, definitely.
Nikki, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. And thanks for joining us in the not-so-off season.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. You know, it was really worked out. We had her on the week of the Steeler-Broncos game in December, right before Christmas.
And it turned out to be a tremendous resource. We've had her on now, what, five or six times on the show since? You know, previewing the playoff game with the Steelers, previewing the AFC Championship game, previewing the Super Bowl. Now with us, with Peyton Manning. She's been great. Every time we've turned to her and asked her to come on the show, she's, yeah, sure, I'll do it. She actually seems to enjoy doing the show. And we thank Nikki Javala for that. From the Denver Post. She's, again, been just great to work with and great to have on the show. Final half hour of the show. I know we're going to do a lot of Phillies talk along the way, but a lot of Pirate fans have also developed here in the Valley, in part because they've had success in the last 4 years and have made the playoffs 3 years in a row, and they're on Root Sports. And so we want to make sure we get the Pirate fans taken care of as well. We did have Greg Brown on last week, who has been outstanding as the lead voice of the Pirates now for 23 years. And Steve Blass is a lifer with the Pirates. Came up through their system after coming out of New Canaan, Connecticut. Signed as an 18-year-old, and now he's still out there broadcasting their games. And he brings that passion to the broadcast booth every single night. And we're going to have Steve Blass on from Bradenton to talk about how the Pirates are progressing so the Pirate fans in our area can get their fix as to what is going on. We mentioned all the NCAA tournament bids, and there's bracketology going on. Let's not forget the big week next week. It's not just the NCAA basketball tournament getting underway. And yeah, you're going to fill out all your brackets next week. I understand that. We're all looking forward to it. But it's also the NCAA Wrestling Championship next week at Madison Square Garden in New York. And there'll be a lot of fans in our area that are going to be going to the Garden. I sense that you're either going to make day trips or you're going to be staying in Jersey. I doubt you're staying in Manhattan. It's a little too pricey down there, but there are great, some great places to stay and go and enjoy, and the best restaurants in the world. Some of them reside right there in Manhattan. Beyond that, Penn State has a chance to win their fifth national championship in the last 6 years. They're going to go in with at least three number one seeds. And yes, Gino Morelli did get a wild card yesterday, which did surprise some people. They were only really holding out hope that Morelli could get in, but he got in as a wild card. So for Penn State, that gives them now a ninth qualifier going in, and that's big. And of course, Bucknell has its qualifiers going in, and big as well. And Dan Wernsberger's done a great job with the Bucknell program as well. So that's all at the Garden next week, and it'll start on Thursday at Madison Square Garden in New York. And the champion and the champions individually and then as a team will be crowned Saturday at MSG, Saturday the 19th. But Thursday's also another big day here. It's Pro Day. And we might have a little more access to Pro Day than normal this time through, because they're going to ask me to do a couple of things here with it that I have not been asked to do before, but they wanted me to do a few things, which may include some of the players themselves, maybe a couple of coaches as well. And we might be able to, on the show, get access to some of that and bring that to you from Penn State's Pro Day coming up on Thursday. Now, some of this we may have to give to on Friday, the day after, but it'll be really the same. It'll give you a real general feel as to what's going on with Pro Day and where everyone stands. From Christian Hackenberg to Austin Johnson to Anthony Zettel to Carl Nassib to Jordan Lucas. And also the other players that were not invited to the combine in Indianapolis, they also get their shot to go out there and show what they can do. And there'll be several NFL scouts and coaches here for this next Thursday, the 17th. Also, on the 18th, spring practice begins for Penn State football. James Franklin will address the media Monday, and we'll have some excerpts from that press conference for you on Monday as well to get his take, and so you can get his feel as to where the football team is heading into spring practice. Most of this team now has been recruited by him. Not all of it, but most of it has. And, of course, the big battle in the spring is going to involve the quarterbacks with Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens going head-to-head in the spring. The job will not be won in the spring. It won't be won in the spring. But somebody may get a leg up to get out of the spring and get into the offseason. What do you do with the offensive line? That'll be interesting. Brian Guy is going to get a look at center.
Nick Scott is going to get a look at both safety and a corner. He's not just going to be a safety. He's going to be getting a look at both safety and corner. So there are a couple of important position moves along the way. What do they do with defensive tackle? What about Bates and Gonzalez in the offensive line with Sterling Jenkins? So there's a lot of things that we can sit there and talk about, and there'll be plenty to talk about. We'll do that next week. Final half hour, Steve Blast joins us from Bradenton, Florida, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes and take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions, and 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking super duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show, and tomorrow we'll join you from Indianapolis at the Big Ten Tournament. We'll be with you from 3 to 5, and then I'll have an hour in between the end of the show and then the ability to go over to the arena and get there with complete ease, only two blocks away, to be on the air at 6 o'clock tomorrow night with Dick Girardi, Jeff Tarman, as Penn State will take on Ohio State in the second round of the Big Ten Tournament. 6:30 will be the tip-off tomorrow night. 6 o'clock, again, the airtime for the Penn State Bookstore tip-off show. And by the way, the game is on ESPN2 tomorrow night. Mike Tirico is on our play-by-play call of the day, who did the game in Detroit last night. He'll be doing the game with Dan Dockage and Quinn Kesnick coming up tomorrow evening. But, of course, it'll be on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 6 o'clock. 6:30 will be the tip-off from Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, the home of the Indiana Pacers. The tournament does get underway today with Nebraska taking on Rutgers and Illinois taking on Minnesota. Then the tournament kicks into gear tomorrow with the noon start, which is Northwestern against Michigan. Penn State's the third game of the day, that 6:30 start with the 6 o'clock airtime against Ohio State. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And for the second consecutive day, we're going with D'Angelo Williams. Why? D'Angelo Williams, look, is one of the really good guys. Outstanding running back, had a great career at Carolina, did exactly what he needed to do in Pittsburgh this year. He really filled the void when Le'Veon Bell got hurt. But all this tweeting about Peyton Manning has been absurd to the point now where Mike Tomlin, of all people, called him out on Twitter and basically told him to stop it. I didn't know Mike Tomlin had a Twitter account. Now, maybe you did. Maybe you're one of Mike Tomlin's Twitter followers. I don't know. I didn't know Mike Tomlin had a Twitter account until he basically tweeted out and said to, he said, D. Will, basically, knock it off. Knock it off. So for our second consecutive day, our second straight day, our sports bozo of the day is D'Angelo Williams. And by the way, not just a guy that's been a great running back with both Carolina and a really, really productive season with the Steelers, but all the work that he's done for breast cancer research, breast cancer awareness, based on his family situation, his mom, the whole deal, you know, wearing the pink hair for awareness, wanted to wear pink garb in November and December, and the NFL said, no, you can only do it in October. So, I mean, look, like I said, he's done some really good things. Doesn't mean you can't qualify once in a while when you do something like this. So it's the second straight day he gets it. I mean, when Mike Tomlin calls you out on Twitter, in public, that's not Mike Tomlin's style. That tells you something. All right, the Phillies. We're very proud to carry the Phillies this year on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All season long, we're going to have Phillies baseball for you, and we love being the home of the Phillies. It's going to be a great addition all spring, all summer long.
where you can get in the car, listen to the game, no problem, nice clear signal. In the evening, to and from, listening to the game, have the game on the radio as you do some yard work on a weekend afternoon, listening to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're going to have the Phillies for you all season long. We'll have plenty of Phillies guests as well. Let's give the Phillies a lot of credit. They've done a brilliant job of shedding salary and rebuilding the farm system, and they've done it all in a span of 4 months. That's impressive. The future of the Phillies is exponentially brighter today than it was a year ago. That doesn't mean 2016 is going to be a great season on the field. I didn't say that. But it is. You now feel, as a Philly fan, you have to feel, hey, look, we got some hope here. We got some guys in the system that can play. Roman Quinn can play. Crawford can play. Look at the guy. Michael Franco's already up, and he's playing. I mean, they've got some guys that can play, and they've got some young pitchers. Nola, I think, is going to be outstanding. And plus, they acquired some guys in the deals. I mean, it was just smart as to how they've gone about it. Now, the players have to come through. But that's several of the many reasons we're excited about carrying the Phillies here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. There are also a lot of Pirate fans in our area because the Pirates have had success. They've made the playoffs in each of the last 3 years. And a guy that really, among Pirate fans, you get to see them on Root Sports on cable here in the Valley. A guy who really has been a treasure to Pirate fans for decades now is Steve Blass, who is joining us from Bradenton, Florida. And Steve, welcome. You and I both know the games all take on their personality, their own separate personality. Spring training camp takes on its own personality. So, Steve, to you up to this point, as you've watched and observed the Pirates down there in Bradenton, what kind of personality has this camp taken on?
Well, it's got a good one, Steve, in that, you know, you can think you're good and you can think you're capable, but until you do it, you don't really know. So this team has proven that it's capable of playing at a competitive level. They've been in postseason play for 3 straight years. So it's a feel-good camp. To be quite honest, it's going to be tough to repeat 98 wins. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. But they're going to be good. They're going to have to... They're going to have to be creative offensively. They know that because they've given up some guys that hit the ball over the fence, regardless of the fact that Pedro wasn't consistent enough. But still, that's over 20 home runs. Walker has some home runs. Ramirez had some home runs. I don't think they're going to be able to stand toe to toe and outscore people. So they're going to have to be more efficient from a fundamental standpoint. But the fact that they've won sets kind of a foundation. So you come to spring training, hey, we're the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we're pretty darn good.
And they've proven that, you're right, over and over again. The Ray Searidge, what has made him, in your opinion, as someone who knows pitching inside and out, what has made him an effective pitching coach that seems to get the best either out of a young player or a veteran? It doesn't really matter who he's dealing with.
Well, I equate him to Robert Redford and the horse whisperer. He's the pitching whisperer. I think one of the things that I think Ray personalizes it. You know, we are in an age of technology, stats, paperwork, clutter, if you will. I think Ray tries to break it down and keep it simple. I think he forms relationships with people. I think he forms trust. And these are qualities that sometimes... In this modern age that I don't know if we need more of, but it's always valued to get back to the fact that, hey, young man, I've got your back, and I want to work with you, and I'm not here to make massive changeovers. We got you in our camp as a Pittsburgh Pirate, and because we see some things that tell us you're capable of doing really, really good things, and maybe we can just nurse you along or make a small adjustment. We've seen something that we might tweak a little bit that can get you back to where you were, perhaps, or help you make the next step up the chain to being consistent when you talk about the younger guys. All those things. I think they feel, young pitcher or veteran pitcher, that he cares about you, and that can never be underestimated.
You mentioned there, maybe make a tweak here, there. Jeff Locke would fall into that category. What's the adjustment they've tried to make with him? It's a small one, but what's the adjustment and what are they trying to accomplish with it?
Yeah, it might be a little bigger than a small one because lots of times it's just, you drop down a little bit. But Jeff Locke doesn't throw the ball by people. He's not a 100-mile-an-hour guy. So I think several years ago they had him kind of in his windup turn his back to home plate like a Johnny Cueto or a Louis Tiant used to do for deception purposes. But now he has struggled recently. So he struggled with control, so they got him more straight on. He's not turning his back to home plate now. He's looking straight in during the entire windup and hoping that that will help him be more consistent with his control, working the edges and the corners of the strike zone rather than down the middle where he cannot be. He'll get knocked around, and he knows that better than anybody. Now, whether it had a lot to do with how effective and impressive he was the other day, I don't know, but he was very good the other day, hitting his spots and had a little jump on his fastball. So if that works, well, just see if he can run the table in March and have him come out of the chute like he did, a couple, 3 years ago when he made the All-Star team in the first half. So that's the adjustment he's made, and we'll see how it plays out the rest of March.
I think over the last 4 years, there may not be a team that's managed its bullpen better than Pittsburgh has. When you look at how they set up bullpen-wise, innings 6 through 9, what are a couple of things that you've seen so far that where some roles are going to fit nicely for what the Pirates want to do?
Well, first of all, the back end is lights out. I think it's the best in baseball with Melanson and Watson. You've got a nice tandem working with Caminero and Jared Hughes. Caminero throws at 100 miles an hour. Hughes gets the sinking release of the ball where he gets a lot of double plays. So it's a wonderful mix that opposing batters are going to come up in the sixth and seventh inning, and they're going to see heat that they're trying to catch up with, or they're going to see a lot of downstairs power sinking fastballs that they've got to try to go down and get underneath to elevate. So you take it from the ninth with Melanson to the eighth, with Watson, and maybe the seventh with Jared Hughes or Caminero, and the other guy in the sixth inning. So you can't underestimate the importance of that, because you're going to have starters that are going to get knocked around, and you want people that are going to come in the sixth and seventh inning that don't let the ball game get away. And we've got that. We picked up O'Flaherty, a left-hander who's been around the big leagues for 8 years, eight-year veteran. Clint Hurdle would love to have two lefties he can depend on. That would give him Watson and O'Flaherty. So I like our bullpen. I've liked it for a long time, and I continue to be impressed with it.
Obviously, Gerrit Cole made news because of the contract situation, but how much have you liked his professional approach so far here in spring training?
I like it. I had a chance to be in uniform for a week as a so-called guest instructor. Watching him relate with the young players, he doesn't stand aside as the stud and look down upon everybody. He relates. He is in the mix. I love him because he has the obsession. That's the one thing you want. A lot of guys have talent, but he wants to find out how good he can be. He's got the talent and the obsession. Now, he had a little rib issue. He threw in a simulated game on Monday without any concerns. He's going to do it again today, and we're expecting that the next time you hear his name, he'll be starting one of the spring training games. So they want to be cautious. They want to be careful. They don't have to rush him at all. And he looks like he's throwing free and easy in the simulated game. So he's going to be fine. Steve, the other issue everybody wants to know about Jung Ho Kang.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's progressing ahead of schedule. It's an interesting way they're phrasing it. They're talking about late to mid-April. Usually those kind of phrasing things are mid to late. But I think they phrase it that way because they want to be cautious. They want to be absolutely sure. So the Pirates are thinking maybe later on in April. Gung himself is talking mid-April. So we'll see how that plays out. And, of course, that trickles down to who's going to start on the infield to open the season, to hold the fort until Gung gets back. You could move Harrison over there. Alan Hansen is a highly regarded minor leaguer that may be ready to play until he's ready. You might leave Harrison at second and have Sean Rodriguez over there for the time being. So there's different scenarios. But Gung is ahead of schedule, and it's just a matter of mid or late April for his return.
When I talked to Greg Brown last week, you mentioned that a point of emphasis is that Clint Hurdle wants to get off to a good start. Everybody's harped on getting off to good starts with the Pirates. How do you view all of that, and put it into context as someone who's seen one or two games in his life?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to get off to a good start in April?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter when you win the games. It matters how many. They won 98 somehow last year. People rant and rave about, if we could have won more games against the division. You know what? It doesn't matter who you beat. It's a matter of how many people you beat, in my mind. So, yeah, sure, you want to get off to a great start. You don't want to get buried. Absolutely. But I don't think it's changed from any manager's perspective. You want to get off to a good start in April. I think it's as simple as that. I think everybody wants to do it.
Finally, for you, what does this time of the year do for you, and what has it meant to you that at this stage of your life, you are still right there directly involved in baseball on an everyday basis?
I'm living a dream, and that's a cliche. But these Pirates gave me a chance to do that when I was 18 years old. I've never lost track of that. I will be grateful forever. And to be around it is just an absolute treat. And the fact that it's been with one organization, I'm so proud of that. But it wouldn't have happened unless the Pirates have worked with me continually since I was 18. When I wanted to stop traveling because I got tired of hotels and airports, they said, would you consider doing the home games? That doesn't happen. That's so rare.
Yeah.
So I never lose track of my loyalty to the organization for these things. I love being around it. The spring training games can be a chore in the latter part of the games because who knows who's playing at that point. But I still get in the car, and I love going to the ballpark. It's just as simple as that. It's just an absolute joy.
Well, everyone here thinks you're a treasure, and justifiably so.
Well, you're very kind, and it's been all part of the mix to be around the Pittsburgh team. It's been a treat to see the people and get a chance to thank him either through these reports or going out and speaking, making appearances. It's all been part of the mix, and a great big thanks to everybody who's been interested in my work in the Pirates and the Pirates as a baseball team, which is the priority.
Steve, absolute pleasure as always. Always enjoy your work, and enjoy the rest of spring training. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds forward. Look forward to it, Steve.
Steve Blass, and I meant what I said to him. He's a treasure. I mean, when you're 18 years old, you then pitch your team to a World Series championship. He was the Game 7 starter and threw a complete game against the Orioles in 1971 with that awesome Baltimore lineup that included Frank Robinson, Brooks Robinson, Paul Blair, Boog Powell, on and on. He shut him down. He shut him down in Game 7 after throwing a complete game and beating the Orioles in Game 3 that year in 71. Then he had an awesome year in 72, made the All-Star team. And then the wheels came off the wagon, but the Pirates kept him on board, and they eventually moved him into the broadcast booth. And you can just hear the passion from Steve Blass every single game he does. I mean, because the franchise and the club means everything to him. We've talked often about guys staying with one franchise. Here's a guy that has stayed with one franchise his entire life, the Pirates. And it was great to have Steve Blass on today. Yes, we will have plenty of Phillies guests on as we go on as well. But again, we do recognize up and down the valley because the Pirates, let's face it, watching a team that wins is fun. And the Pirates are on Root Sports here in the valley. And they've attracted a lot of fans here along the way because of how well they played by winning 98 games last year and by making the playoffs in three consecutive years. And they're certainly one of the favorites to make the playoffs again this year. It was our pleasure to have Steve Blass on the show today. Also great to have Nikki Javala from the Denver Post on to talk about the Peyton Manning retirement and where to for the Broncos. Matt Leon joined us as well today from KYW in Philadelphia to talk about both the Eagles situation and to discuss Villanova with the Big East basketball tournament coming up at Madison Square Garden. And Byron Maxwell's shoulder is an issue. The odd thing is about the Eagles. Here's the odd thing about the Eagles trade with Miami. Maxwell, by the way, did pass the Eagles physical. He did.
But they were far more concerned about Kiko Alonso passing the physical with his knee in Miami. He passed, and evidently Maxwell didn't. And, of course, he has a 6-year contract with Philadelphia. Now, it's not all guaranteed, obviously, you're going to make the team. But it would be a big cap hit if they had, you know, if they had to keep him. We'll see how that plays out. But that was Matt Leon joining us today. You can catch any of these interviews on our Steve Jones Show podcast anytime. And tomorrow, well, as always, we take the show on the road, and we have a great time taking the show on the road. And tomorrow the show will be from Indianapolis. Indianapolis will have the show for you tomorrow from 3 to 5, like we always do. And then we'll make the walk over to Bankers Life Fieldhouse and bring the game for you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock the airtime. 6:30 the tip-off when Penn State takes on Ohio State in the second round of the Big Ten tournament. Looking forward to it very, very much. The NCAA Wrestling Championships are next week. We will preview that for you. We will get Jeff Byers back on the show to talk about that. We'll also get Nate Cobbler from the Center Daily Times back to talk about that as well. It starts Thursday at the Garden and then runs through Saturday. Penn State looking for its 5th national championship in the last 6 years. And Dan Wernsberger is going to bring his contingent from Bucknell as well. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament actually gets underway Tuesday with the first four. Then the tournament really kicks into gear Thursday next week. We'll talk about that. But Pro Day is next Thursday, the 17th as well. And we might have an opportunity here to get a little bit more out of Pro Day than in the past, because if Penn State wants me to do a couple things with the athletes and some of the coaches, which then we would be allowed to then dovetail into the show. So we're looking forward to that. Hope you had a great time. Off to Indianapolis we go. I'm from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.